Welcome back to Yahoo Finance. Well, Pfizer has applied for emergency use authorization of its COVID shot for kids under five. It could be available later this month, but some parents are worried. The Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, spoke earlier today with a message of reassurance. Take a quick listen.
Pfizer's application will now undergo the same independent, rigorous, and transparent review process that was used to authorize the vaccines that now more than 250 million Americans have received, including millions of children ages 5 and up. It will involve the FDA receiving the full data from Pfizer, posting that data publicly, and then convening its advisory committee for a transparent discussion of the data. The FDA will then render its opinion, after which the CDC and its advisory group will assess the data and make their recommendation.
To discuss, let's bring in Dr. Anand Swaminathan, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at St. Joseph's Regional Medical Center and Emergency Medicine Physician in New Jersey. Doctor, thank you so much for being here today. So parents are concerned, and I'm wondering if you could just explain to us, is a regimen any different? Is it the same dosage? Do you wait the same time before shots?
Well, it is going to be a different dosage that's been studied, and that's what we're going to be looking at the data for. And this transparent process that the FDA is going to go through is really important for the public to understand that we're not just going to approve these out of hand because we want them approved. We're really going to have to look at that data and see whether there's effectiveness. But if we get an EUA here, it could be pretty huge because we're talking about 20 million-ish kids in that age group that now could be eligible for vaccinations. We have tons of data telling us about safety. We do need to see the data on effectiveness. And this is particularly important right now because we've had about 3.5 million cases in kids over the last month. We've had 8,000 hospitalizations. But Karina, I think one of the important things for us to do is not just focus on the new shiny toy, but think about the things that we already have in place as well that maybe we need to do a little better job with. If we look at kids 5 to 11, vaccines for that group has been approved for 3 months. And yet we only see about 20% of that group that is fully vaccinated. That means there's 22 million kids between 5 and 11 who are not fully protected. And then we look at the older age group, those teenagers, 12 to 17. We only have about 50% of that group vaccinated, only about 20% boosted. So again, we're talking about 12, 13 million teenagers who aren't fully protected. I have 3 kids between the age of 5 and 13. All 3 of them are fully vaccinated. My 13-year-old has also been boosted. And when I talk to my colleagues, whether they be MDs or RNs, anybody who takes care of kids, all of their kids are fully vaccinated as well.
Yeah, I have a 14-year-old. She couldn't wait to get her shots and get boosted as well. So some people are just really gung-ho all about it, but then some are nervous and holding back. What do you think we need to do, or you need to do as medical professionals, to help get more people to feel comfortable to go and get those shots for their children?
I think more of us need to be really frank with the American people that our kids are vaccinated, that these are safe. And we need to have clear messages based on the science that we have available, that they are safe, they are effective, that COVID is massively affecting kids, especially during this Omicron surge. And these are preventable. These are preventable hospitalizations. There are preventable deaths in kids. It's not a huge number, but still 75 kids died in January from COVID. Those are preventable deaths. We don't need to have any kids dying of this, and vaccines can help to protect the group where they're approved.
And Doctor, let's switch gears for a second. Airlines are now calling for an end to testing for international travel into the U.S. Given that we've seen that this virus doesn't respect any sort of borders, is that a logical conclusion? Does that seem like the right next step to take?
Well, I think the testing rules that we had in place for travel never really made a lot of sense. 3 days before you travel to get a test, then it moved to 1 day. We even know 1 day before isn't really adequate with Omicron. You can be negative yesterday and positive today. So I'm not sure that the testing rules ever made a ton of sense. Instead, what we should be switching to is other layered mitigation. Let's make it mandatory that you have to be vaccinated to get on any plane, whether it be international or domestic. Let's make masking not just mandatory, but let's make high quality masks mandatory. What if when you go to the airport, they give you an N95 or a KN94, a high quality mask that can serve to protect you, those around you? I think with layered mitigation, the testing isn't as necessary, but we need to make vaccines mandatory for flying.
Well, Dr., masking has been quite controversial, and the latest sort of, you know, news out is that young kids should be wearing their masks under the age of 5. You know, you have 2 and 3 year olds. You know, these young children, they put it on, they take it off, it drops on the floor, they pick it up. How hygienic is that? Does that seem like a sensible thing to do, particularly when you see, you know, people like the mayor and governor in Los Angeles sort of taking off their masks and walking around? There's so much sort of controversy and confusion that happens surrounding wearing masks.
There is a lot of confusion, and it's because we're not really focused on the science. The masks work, especially high quality masks. They work to prevent people from getting others sick. And the masking isn't just about protecting yourself, it's about protecting those around you. So in indoor settings, as cases are continuing to surge, kids should be masked. My kids wear N95s every day that they go to school to protect themselves and protect those around them that maybe aren't fully vaccinated, that are immunocompromised. And what we have to kind of also steer away from is that we can't always have perfect, but that doesn't mean that we abandon the measure completely. Any level of protection will be helpful. And most kids, at least the kids that I've had experience with, they wear their masks pretty well. Under 2, of course, you're going to have really not very effective mask use. But for most kids in an indoor setting, they can wear masks. And of course, that helps to protect those kids that maybe are too young, they can't wear their masks.
And doctor, as far as getting people, more people, to realize the importance of vaccination, I'm wondering, where do you stand on the issue of misinformation? It's been in the news lately a lot, partly because of Spotify, its star podcaster Joe Rogan getting into some controversy over allegations that he's spread misinformation. He apologized subsequently. Where do you stand on that?
Well, Joe Rogan and Spotify are just the tip of the iceberg here. It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Twitter, it's Reddit, and it's also politicians, people like Ron Johnson, who are frankly spreading lies about vaccines. And that disinformation really undermines all of the public health efforts that we are putting enormous amounts of efforts in to protect the American people, the American public. Those kind of that kind of disinformation is leading to thousands and thousands of deaths. In fact, we have data telling us that 160,000 deaths could have been prevented if everybody got vaccinated. And this kind of misinformation undermines those efforts to get everybody vaccinated. And, you know, nobody would drive around in their car, hear a knock or their brakes don't work, and drive up to the emergency department and ask me for advice on how to fix their car. I'm not qualified to do that. And in the same vein, we shouldn't be going to a comedian, somebody who does color for MMA, and asking for advice about science and about medical issues. Instead, we should be focused on real experts, the public health experts who are out there, who are doing the work, who are living this every day, who are putting the effort in to get the best information across to people. And I think the American public is smart enough to be able to do that. But sometimes we need a little bit of help, and we need to really hold people accountable, hold Spotify accountable, hold Joe Rogan accountable for this misinformation that's frankly killing people.
Yep. Follow the science. Good advice there. Okay, we will have to leave it there. Dr. Anand Swaminathan, thank you so much for stopping by today.
All right, great conversation there.